Surgeons have to cut to heal, and coming clean with God may mean some pain. Making past wrongs right can't be avoided. Imagine running, free of a guilty conscience, heading full speed toward your heavenly goal. Now that's a prize worth the pain, as you experience the healing power of the light. To learn more, please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series explains why good people do bad things. Today, Dr. Lutzer is teaching us about the healing power of the light, healing which only comes after paying a price.
So it's going to cost you some heartbreak to be fully in the light. There are some of you who are going to be in the light and you're going to have to pay the price of vulnerability. You're going to have to go to somebody and say, I was wrong. You're going to have to get rid of that anger and that hostility because you have built up anger towards other Christians, and maybe they know about it, maybe they don't know about it, who knows what it is, but you want to come to the light and you want to say, God, I want your full blessing, and God says, wait a moment, what is this that's back here that you keep nursing, that anger? You'd better forgive and you'd better lay it down. You say, Lord, it costs too much. And God says, well, how badly do you want to walk in the light? How badly do you want the light? Or do you want to just kind of walk in the light, yeah, on Sunday, and then slip back to darkness Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and kind of manage the situation? Oh, I could go on as to what the cost is, but the best example I have, and I don't think there's anyone listening to me probably who has to pay as much as one person did. His name is John Claypool. Back in the early 70s, 1975, a 14-year-old boy by the name of John Claypool murdered some people, his neighbors, the husband and wife, just to see what it was like to see people die. The boy was drunk, and he did it. The police questioned him, and they didn't have hard evidence, and he got by. He married. He fathered two daughters. Yet this sin, he could not get away from it. And now he met some Christians whom he always disliked because he thought that they were a bunch of self-righteous, judgmental people. But he said, I always considered Christians to be hypocrites, but these people were genuine in living what they professed. Their witness to the love of Christ created a glowing spiritual hunger within me. Well, he bought a Bible, he read it, and he accepted Christ as Savior, as I urge all of you who are listening to do if you have not done that. But now the Holy Spirit of God is within him, see, because now he's a believer and he has to walk in the light. The Holy Spirit persistently said, in effect, my child, you must obey me by confessing your crime or you will never know my full blessing in your life. See, that's the thing. You can live with a conscience, even with murder on your conscience, and you can manage. Just take enough various things that will calm you down, that will enable you to sleep, and you can get by. That's all rationalization, and it may be worth it to stay out of jail. But the one thing, though, that you can't rationalize, that just stands there, is this business of God. Are you going to receive his full blessing? Or are you not? That's the $64 question. Does he mean that much to you? Well, you can imagine how John goes on to say that his heart absolutely pounded with fear. But 20 years later, November 27th, 1995, he went with his pastor and an attorney and turned himself in to the authorities with the video cameras, the movie cameras on him because it was national news. At the moment of truth, though I was now a prisoner of the law, I was set free before God for the first time in my life. I cannot describe the feeling of that burden being completely lifted. The Lord now held his once disobedient child in his loving arms, and true to his promise, he did not let me fall. A wonderful peace came over my soul, such as I have never known. You say, is it worth it to go to prison? He's now in a maximum security prison. In fact, I continue to read, I am now confined in a maximum security prison serving time for second-degree murder. But notice, I am more free and more at peace than at any other time in my life. He talks about the fact that what he did to that family still bothers him because the consequences continue. He wonders what kind of a testimony he's going to be to his children now that he's in jail. But he ends by saying, if God can redeem the soul of one who had murdered his innocent neighbors, then God can redeem anyone. And he can. And he can redeem you, because if the truth were known, there's some of you here who have done some very terrible things. Maybe it isn't murder, but maybe it is. And you're saying to yourself, can God even redeem somebody like me? Will I ever be able to say like David did in Psalm 51, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation? Lord, here I am, I've committed adultery, I've murdered a man, but give me your joy back. And you remember what else it says in that psalm? Thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to wisdom. That's why you can take all your rationalizations, all your reasons. For some of you, and I even hate to say this and wasn't sure whether or not I should, but for some of you, total honesty before God may mean that you have to go back to your country of origin because perhaps you lied, perhaps you falsified things. And you say, well, it's not worth it. I'm going to stick it out. Well, notice what John Claypool said. He said the Holy Spirit was ministering to him and saying, if you really want the full blessing of God in your life, the full blessing of God, we have to walk in the light, and walking in the light can be tremendously costly, tremendously. Some of you have addictions, and the reason that you have those addictions is because there's a part of you that just kept walking in darkness and in that hiding darkness, and God wants to come and just shine a light on everything, and it's painful. I'm not saying that it doesn't hurt. I'm not saying it won't cost. I'm saying, do you or do you not want God's blessing upon your life completely and totally? Well, I conclude with a few observations. First of all, what you hide hurts. What you hide hurts. Someone has said that you are only as sick as your darkest secrets. That may be an exaggeration, but I think it certainly is close to the truth. You say, well, how many people do I have to confess to? Well, you have to confess to those whom you have wronged. If it's one person, then it's one person. If it's 10 people, then it's 10 people. The confession and the restoration has to be as broad as the offense. That's the answer. Private sin does not have to be paraded in front of other people, though sometimes we like to hear testimonies of how God worked in people's lives. But it has to be obedience to the amount of offense. Secondly, what you hide grieves God. What you hide grieves God. I've emphasized that, but that's the one non-negotiable. They're in the presence of the Almighty. Years of rationalizations, ruts of behavior that have been so carefully dug and hidden and covered, suddenly all are blasted away because we have God to deal with. And finally, light and darkness really can't coexist. Light and darkness can't coexist. In other words, as a result of this message, all of us, including myself, we are either going to walk more in the light and ask God even for more light, or else some are going to retreat into a deeper darkness with further hardness of heart and further rationalizations. Somehow it's difficult to find that median where you say, well, I want part of my life in the light, part of it in darkness. John Claypool had that experience for a time. Part of it was in the light, he accepted Christ, part of it in darkness. But what an unhappy combination, until finally he said, Lord, I give it all to you. David said in Psalm 139, verse 1, search me, O God. He gets to the end of the chapter and he says, O God, search me and know my heart. Verse 1, O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. It's a done deal. You know all about me, and it's the one thing I can't rationalize away. He goes to the end of the chapter and he says, now search me, O God. Is it contradictory? Verse 1, you have searched me. Verse 23, search me. No, what David is saying is, I know you know all about me. All that I'm asking you for now is that you might show me what you see. Show me what you see. And I have to tell you that unless the Holy Spirit shows you what's there, I can't. I feel very helpless preaching this message because there are some things I can do which are very limited. But then there's something that only the Spirit can do, and that's his business that I can't even begin to encroach upon. Do you remember Robert Fulghum, who wrote that book, All That I Ever Needed to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten? He talks about the fact that in October, the kids would gather together and play hide-and-seek, and some kids hid so well that nobody could find them. He says, as I write, the neighborhood game goes on, and there's a kid under the pile of leaves in the yard just under my window. He's been there a long time, and everybody else is found, and they're about to give up on him over at the base. I considered going out to the base and telling them where he was hiding. And then I thought about setting the leaves on fire to drive him out. Finally, I just yelled, "Get found, kid!" through the window, and it scared him so bad he probably started crying and ran home to tell his mother. It's hard to know how to be helpful sometimes. Some of you are playing adult hide and seek, and you're under a pile of leaves. You've got things which have never been exposed to the light in God's presence. And you think that you can walk in both darkness and light, but God sees to it that our cubbyhole, that little cubbyhole, turns into a very private hell until we're willing to say, "Lord, whatever it is, I want to walk in the light." This comes from me as a pastor, your pastor, to you today, to those of you in the balcony, to those of you downstairs, to those listening by whatever means. Get found, because there's healing when you come to the light. There is cleansing, there is forgiveness, there is a sense of freedom, there is wholeness that is brought about to our conflicting struggles when we come to the light. For if we walk in the light as God is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and all of those animosities are broken down, and the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all the stains. Get found. Yes, thank God for light. I remember as a boy walking along a path in the farm with a lantern. Thank God for light. I remember flashlights that helped us find something in the dark. Thank God for light. I think of the Word of God, which is a light unto our path and a light unto our souls. Thank God for light. I thank God for Jesus, the light of the world. This is Pastor Lutzer. And as I conclude this particular message today, I want to urge you, no matter what the cost might be, to come to that light that I was preaching about. What we need in this generation is for God to touch the lives of many, many people. Some of you listening have to get found. Come to Jesus. He knows where you are. But come, reveal yourself to Him. Tell Him what you're like. Admit who you are in His presence. And the light not only saves us, but thankfully, it heals us as well.
Erwin Lutzer, concluding The Healing Power of the Light, the eighth message in a 9-part series on why good people do bad things. Tomorrow, join us for A Bad Man Made Good. You're hearing about why good people do bad things. This 9-part series will be sent on CD as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.